Adam Taxon talking with Scott Bach, who is a current NRA board member and the president of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. He's also an attorney and has been involved in law enforcement. Scott, welcome on July 3rd. We have a big day tomorrow, and we'll talk about the real meaning of it.
Hey, Adam. Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
Well, first of all, you wrote a piece that's been getting some attention over the last few days called Calm Before the Storm, and it's a little bit more than just a guide to fireworks. You get into the meaning of the 4th of July and some of the troubling times, some things about the troubling times we're in right now. Can you elaborate about it?
Sure, and by the way, I wrote this about a month ago for the New Jersey State Rifle and Pistol Association, never intending for it to, you know, be picked up nationally, but apparently it has because it resonates. Look, it's 4th of July, and we are gun owners, and we are staunch advocates for gun rights, and I think it's important on the 4th of July to take a step back and take a look at where we are as a nation, because just because you own guns and can shoot off fireworks on the 4th of July doesn't necessarily mean you're free. And, you know, I'm very troubled by what I see, you know, when I look at the recent decisions coming out of the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's fortuitous that we just had this health care decision.
Yeah, and the article, your column came out before those decisions, correct?
Right, but it's part of a pattern that I see unfolding. If you look at the last 40 to 50 years or longer, and you really just take a step back, okay, not just looking at gun rights, but looking beyond gun rights, and ask yourself a question on July 4th. Are we more free or are we less free outside the context of Second Amendment rights? Are we trending toward more individual freedom, which is, of course, what this country was founded on, or less? And what I see, and which is echoed and amplified by the recent healthcare decision, is my conclusion is it's less. And I think that for those of us, you know, our group has people of all ages and all generations, okay? Mm-hmm. So folks who grew up in the last 20, 25 years, well, what they see around them is all they know. But people who grew up 50 years ago or more can see the contrast more starkly. When you take a look at what our Supreme Court has turned into, what our Congress has turned into. When you look at, for example, a Congress that passes a law that says if you mention the name of a candidate for federal office within 60 days of an election, we can put you in jail as a felony. Okay, and that was McCain-Feingold, which has since been overturned. When you look at a Supreme Court that says or has said we can take private property not for a public use, but for a private use that benefits government more through increased tax revenue. When you see property rights attacked, when you see fundamental freedom outside of just Second Amendment context, it's pretty clear that while we are fighting the good fight on our gun rights, that there's something else happening. Something has happened to our country. And it's happened little by little. It's one of those things you don't even see it happening until one day you wake up and look around and say, how did we get here? And where are we going? And why are we doing this? And so, you know, I mean, that's what prompted my column. And, you know, again, you know, the Obamacare decision is, to me, it's the final nail in the coffin. It's not the only one. It is the ultimate attack on the Republic.
Yes.
It's the last vestige of freedom that's left. And, you know, if your government can force you, whether you call it a tax or a penalty, okay, can say you must do something, and if you don't, you're going to pay us money. I don't think the founding fathers, I think that's what they tried to get away from.
Yeah, certainly. They wanted to be left alone. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, especially if you can go into specifics, what would have been some reactions to what's been going on from, say, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, Ben Franklin, James Madison in particular?
Well, you know, my personal opinion is they'd be rolling over in their graves. And they are rolling over in their graves. I mean, America is one of the greatest nations, if not the greatest nation ever, to be founded in the history of the world. It was founded based on godly principles, putting the individual first, okay, unlike any other form of government. And we have devolved into something very, very different. And to me, the most disturbing thing about it is there's a good chunk of the population that A, either doesn't notice, or B, doesn't even care.
I know.
Okay, they're interested in, you know, what's on American Idol, and, you know, what's the latest movie that came out, and, you know, what's the latest distraction, while freedom is being eroded out from under us, you know, right under our noses. And, you know, I mean, as a gun rights activist, I mean, we're tuned into gun issues. We're fighting the good fight. We're making progress on gun issues. That's one of the few areas that has not been severely eroded, though it has been eroded from the time of the founding. But, you know, what use is gun rights if the individual has surrendered everything to the state?
Right. But, you know, the thing I would say is, you know, I'd say this is exactly what we were trying to escape from or back then, but, you know, King George wasn't anywhere near this tyrannical. The Stamp Act was nothing like Obamacare. I mean, that's a fair assessment, right?
I agree with that. That was a question of representation. This is not a question of representation. This is a question of, or a case of, public officials who have an agenda and have exceeded their mandate, who have violated their trust to the Constitution and the principles on which the country was founded, and of course would scoff at me and scold me for even saying such horrible things, right? Because after all, the Constitution's a living, breathing document, don't you know? And we can manipulate it into anything we want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are bedrock principles, and that's what this nation stood for. And we're turning into something very, very different. And it's important for gun owners especially to wake up to this fact on July 4th, because I believe gun owners have a huge role to play in shaping and molding the future. But more to the point, I've been asking myself, Adam, how could something like this happen in the greatest governmental system in the world? You know, how could a Supreme Court issue decisions like this? How could a Congress, you know, so blatantly, to those of us with our eyes open?
Well, I'm thinking of a quote by Ben Franklin, "A democracy, if you can keep it," is definitely coming to mind right now.
Well, absolutely, and my conclusion is, you know what? The system is not self-enforcing. It requires human beings with the will to preserve it. And somewhere along the line, those with the will to destroy it have taken over the majority right under our noses. And, you know, it's scary where we're headed. And I definitely agree with that.
Let me just get into one more thing, because it is July 4th, and I apologize to everyone whose moods of their barbecues we've just destroyed. But I would like to just talk about the role of a well-armed militia in the Revolutionary War. Obviously, we're celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but the whole general theme. Just what role responsible gun ownership played? I mean, there could never have been a Revolutionary War otherwise.
That's right. And let me substitute the word militia for armed populace.
Right.
Okay? You know, ironically, and JPFL members know this, but ironically, Hitler, you know, was pro-gun control.
Not ironic at all.
Mahatma Gandhi understood the nation, you know, the need for a people to be armed. You know, the ultimate pacifist, you know, there's a famous quote where he said, among the many misdeeds of the British rule in India, the darkest was depriving the whole nation of arms, suggesting he understands that the importance of being armed, not necessarily using arms, but having them as a check, is critical to keeping freedom. And, you know, that's such an interesting contrast. But let's not let people be discouraged about this, because, I mean, the good news is that gun owners have a very, very important role to play in reshaping the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's important we enjoy and take time to pause and rest this summer and recharge, because, you know, it's the calm before the storm now, as I said in my column, and, you know, the storm is ahead, and the storm means a lot of things. We have the most important elections, presidential and congressional, of our lives, and I know we've all heard that before. But let me just say this. The next president of the United States could appoint up to 3 U.S. Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think the Heller and McDonald decision is written in stone, take again, okay? Because that 5-4 could switch the other way and Helen McDonald could be rewritten into history as a blip or an anomaly instead of, the correct decision that it was. The other thing is the Senate, the U.S. Senate is critically important, okay? The Senate confirms those justices. The Senate has to confirm or ratify treaties like the U.N. Gun Ban Treaty, which has been looming on the horizon for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So if you think elections don't matter, if you think your vote doesn't make a difference and your effort doesn't make a difference, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. One person standing firm can make a difference because the power of one is the power of all. For every one person who plants their foot and decides, I will not stand for this, there are millions of others doing exactly the same thing. And so if we all do that in unison, I mean, there are enough of us to take back control of this country and shape it at the polls and to shape it the way, you know, we believe it ought to be shaped, you know, and faithful to the traditions on which it was founded.
All right, Scott, first of all, to the audience, I've been talking with Scott Bach, who is a current NRA board member and is the president of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, as well as a former law enforcement officer and an attorney, still an attorney. His information can be found at bachbio.com, bachbio.com. And Scott, have a happy and meaningful 4th of July. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Adam.
Take care.
Bye-bye.